How much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Words, my friends in Christ, taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In my teens and early 20s, I studied organ and musical composition for about 6 years, simultaneous with taking my courses at the seminary in Milwaukee. One organ piece that fascinated me and that I aspired to learn was Johann Sebastian Bach's Dorian Toccata. Now, a toccata is an organ piece in which your fingers touch the keys very lightly and move very, very quickly. Toccatas are usually show pieces that are played before or after Mass, and they're generally very, very loud, or they soon get very loud. Now, Bach's Dorian Toccata was one of his later works. It was a tough one. And strictly speaking, it was something that would have been way beyond my abilities at the organ keyboard. But I was determined to learn this on my own in addition to the other pieces I had to learn. So I would spend extra time every day practicing it and taking very short passages and playing them very, very slowly and repeating them over and over and over again until I got them right. And then eventually I would pick up speed and try to go on to the next section. So after many months, I was actually able to play this piece perfectly, at least once. I managed it at least once. Now, earlier this year, after 35 years of having been away from this piece, I decided to take up the Dorian Toccata again and to see how I would do with it. Well, at the beginning, I didn't do very well. And I went through the same laborious process of repeating the small passages, playing them slowly, eventually working up speed, and so on, and doing this over and over. The difficult sections of it are still difficult for me. And your hands cross over a number of times. You're going up and down between the upper and lower keyboard. Your hands are going in one direction, and your feet, which on the organ play the bass line, are going in the other direction. There are abundant mistakes that I make, but it's the determination to play this piece and to understand it that keeps me going. And things are getting a bit better. We would expect this if we want to acquire any skill or any ability. Anything good, it takes determination. There's no such thing as instant perfection. So you've got to pick yourself up after making mistakes and persevere. And this is true with any skill, with any art, with anything we seek to learn. And depending on what we choose to learn, this is often a long-term program for us. Whether you're learning Bach, or learning to speak French, or auto repair, or computer programming, or even the proverbial rocket science. Why are we blind to this in our spiritual lives? We become disheartened at the thought of all our falls, and all the sins that we commit, and all the times that we have to start over. And it seems go over the same material again and again. Our Lord's precious blood poured out on the cross offers us redemption. It cleanses our conscience to serve the living God. But acquiring virtue or holiness or spiritual perfection, in other words, applying this to ourselves, does not therefore come to us instantly, does not come to us in a flash. Take the words virtue, holiness, or perfection in the spiritual life. Perhaps those seem to you to be daunting exhortations, daunting concepts when you're exhorted to strive for virtue or strive to become holy or strive to become perfect in spiritual life. So you think of the lives of the saints, sermons and spiritual books, the great masters of the spiritual life, the great virtuosi, as it were, of the spiritual life. And then you think of your falls, your sins, mortal and venial sins repeated time and again, and you become discouraged. And you say, how do I deal with that? But don't forget that arriving at perfection or acquiring a virtue is usually something that is very gradual. The virtue, virtus, strength. And we don't become strong instantly. It takes repetition in anything. Grace accommodates itself to our nature, builds upon our nature, it doesn't destroy our nature. And moral miracles, a sort of instant perfection, are very rare indeed. Grace illumines the mind and it moves the will. With the first flash of grace in the spiritual life, we follow Christ. And then the subsequent flashes we get of grace help us to overcome the different obstacles. And by each of these, you ascend gradually. You ascend gradually. The lesson of this is to keep on trying. Your mind and your intellect knows what is right. You know that God offers His graces to those who resolve to persevere. So, no matter what happens, you don't give up. You keep at it. In my case with the music, I see the music on the page. I know how it's supposed to sound. I can read music. I studied it for many years, and I even have a book, an edition of the Dorian Toccata, that was put together by the great French organist Marcel Dupré. Dupré tells you exactly where to put your fingers, which notes to hit with which finger, and which notes in the pedal to hit with your feet, and how to do that. Exactly how to do it. So intellectually you know it. I know it. But I can't do it. I can't make the music correctly unless I go through the practicing and unless I go through the repetition. But you might say, well, nevertheless, virtue, holiness, perfection, scary, really scary stuff, stuff that has to, that pertains to the saints that we read about and hear about. But what about a saint like Saint Peter? Remember, our Lord called him and the other apostles and said, come follow me, faciam vos piscatores hominum, I will make you to be fishers of men. So Peter sees the miracle our Lord works, he hears the call, and he resolves to follow it, to follow our Lord on the road. He receives the grace, the vocation, and he says, I will follow him. He makes his will correspond to this gift that he receives. The faith of St. Peter is the beginning of perfection. He has the gift of God. He has God's grace. And it's easy enough to see that. But did St. Peter get instant virtue and instant perfection? Did he really leave all to follow Christ? And the answer, the reality is no. He didn't. He still had his own judgment rather than submitting his judgment to that of Christ. There are many instances in the Gospel where St. Peter seems to be telling our Lord that, well, he knows better about something. He even argues with Christ over his passion. There is his impulsiveness. Remember, after all our Lord had preached, he pulls out a sword in the garden. He had a self-love, his vanity, the idea he had of himself. Vanity doesn't pertain primarily to looks, but we desire to be admired for all the wrong things. And St. Peter had plenty of that. And then his boastfulness, oh no, I will not abandon thee. But then he flees when our blessed Lord is seized. He had to fall, and he had to fall very hard to come to know himself. And he denies our Lord not once, but three times. Then comes self-knowledge. Then comes self-understanding. Flevit amare. He goes out and he wept bitterly. Then he understands his weakness. He sees our Lord's passion in a new light. He sees our Lord's love and mercy compared with his own nothingness. And it took a while for him to get to that. And if that was the case with St. Peter, who had our Lord and Savior in front of him, and who saw the miracles that our Lord wrought, what about us? We acquire and perfect skills and abilities throughout our lives by knowing what we must do and willing to do it. And on the latter point, repeating and persevering, no matter what it is, whether it's organ music, French, auto repair, and so on. That is how God made us. So, our Lord redeems us by his precious blood. But virtue, still less true holiness, still less perfection, do not come instantly for us. We seek to serve the living God. Perfection of that doesn't come all at once. It is a fight. It is a struggle. And if there are hard falls along the way, like St. Peter, we have to resolve to persevere. Our Lord shed his precious blood for us sinners. And when we are tempted to become discouraged at the thought of all our sins and of all our falls, think of the example of St. Peter. And remember, with regard to our Lord, copiosa apud eam redemptio. With him is plenteous, is the fullness of redemption. God bless you and persevere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.